Hello, I'm Jane Crowther, Editor-in-Chief of Total Film, and welcome to Total Film's Last Picture Show. The elevator pitch? It's the last time you can watch movies on a big screen. You have one last night at the cinema. What four films are you programming, and why? Our guest today is a former professional footballer who played for his hometown club of Sunderland for 12 years and then moved to Blackburn Rovers, Leeds United, Wolverhampton Wanderers and Sheffield Wednesday. In 1999, he played for England and he retired in 2010. He's now a regular commentator on Sky and TalkSport. Our guest today is Michael Gray.
Referee wanting the ball back, the full distance. Just 5 minutes gone, they're already one up. Here's Michael Gray. They're two up now. Michael Gray in off the post.
Oh, what a player, what a finish, and what a brilliant move from Manchester United. I said in the second half, they've not really got going. But that switch ball over to the right-hand side to Anthony, does what he does, he comes in on his left foot, and he just sees the run, which is a perfect run, this time from Casemiro. And he's not being picked up, he's left to run into the 18-yard area, and what a little deft little dink that is. It's absolutely brilliant.
Bit of a change to be talking about cinema rather than footy. Is it a passion of yours, cinema?
Well, it's a nice change, I have to say, because sport seems to run my life these days. It's every single day. You just can't switch off from it. But I think one of the things that I do enjoy, apart from obviously enjoying my golf, is sitting down and watching movies, whether they be old ones or classics, or even going to the cinema whenever I get the opportunity. But most definitely enjoy watching classic movies.
Do you remember what the first film you saw on a big screen was?
Oh, crikey. Well, that's taken me back. Well, I was brought up, and I think this is more down to my parents, or more so my father, would have been the Rocky movies and the Rambo movies. He was kind of a Sylvester Stallone, a bit of a hero to his. He absolutely loved his movies. And I have to say, I mean, he enjoyed them himself. And I was probably at an age where I was able to watch them at that time and maybe sink them in a little bit into your brain. They would have been the ones, yeah, absolutely, the Rambo movies, all of them, First Blood, etc. And all of the Rocky movies, which I'm sure I've seen 100 times over.
And as a sportsman, do you like a sports movie? Do you like a sort of, you know, Escape to Victory? Is that one of your faves?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be. What a classic. And, you know, a friend of mine is obviously Nick Summerby, and Mike Summerby was a little part of that as well. So it gives you a little bit more insight into it. I mean, I found out afterwards, I mean, he didn't really know who Mike Summerby was at the time. But, you know, as time went by, Nick became one of my teammates at Sunderland. And then you realise, you know, how much of a legend he actually is. And, you know, it makes you want to watch that movie a little bit more, albeit it's just little clips of Mike in the movie, but with Pele and other superstars, it was just absolutely fantastic. But a great movie.
Absolute corker, a classic. Are there any films you've seen about football that you think get it right?
Yeah, there is. There's probably a lot out there. I mean, that is the one. I mean, I wouldn't say get it right from Escape to Victory, because, you know, it's obviously got a bigger story to it, but that would be the one that jumps off the page to me, absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's just a brilliant movie. Not the one that I've watched, I would say, over a dozen times, but I've definitely watched it more than once.
Yeah, and incoming is actually, this year, is Taika Waititi's film about the Samoan team who lost 31-0. So you have got some more football incoming that's going to be big on the big screen. Let's move on to then your first film that you would like to put on a screening of, the last time you could ever see films on a big screen. When you're thinking about this, why is it the last time you're going to watch a film on a big screen? Is it because it's the end of the world? Are you sort of that kind of person? Or is it that you're kind of worried about the state of cinemas and they might close?
I mean, a lot of us, obviously, I mean, we still go to cinemas and you know, you're hoping for one of those classics again, aren't you? And there's certain times when you go there and you're overawed a little bit when you walk out of the cinema. It's pretty special. You're thinking to yourself, wow, I can't wait to watch that again, whether it be at the cinema or whether it just be at home after it leaves the cinema and enters your house. But if it was the end of the world, it's difficult to actually narrow it down to four. But it would have to be Gladiator for me, absolutely. I mean, that's the one that, it's my go-to.
You find yourself alone, riding in green fields with the sun on your face. Do not be troubled. Well, you are in Elysium, and you're already dead! Brothers, what we do in life echoes in eternity.
I like you, Spaniard. I shall cheer for you. My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, loyal servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius. Father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife. And I will have my vengeance, in this life or the next.
I like my medieval stuff, you know, Game of Thrones, etc., and stuff like that. Troy would be another one.
Yeah.
But the one classic would have to be, would be Gladiator. I mean, from start to finish, you're kind of fixated with it and you can't switch off. You can't, you know, look away from the screen. I mean, it's going to be around for years and years and years. It was just perfect from start to finish the way they did it.
Yeah. There's obviously now Gladiator 2. In production, which will take on the story of Lucius, the little boy in Gladiator 1. Are you excited about that proposition?
I think a lot of people are always thinking the worst, aren't they? Because when you've got a classic like that, I think a lot of people would probably turn around and say, just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Don't spoil it. You know, there's so many movies out there that you can think of that have got a second and a third, and they never quite reach the heights of the original. But Lucius played, I mean, he played a decent enough part. You know, it wasn't a huge part, obviously. I mean, he was a young man, wasn't he? But to have the background of going to Rome and obviously, you know, kind of royals, really, wasn't it? But he obviously knew the storyline. I think Gladiator was his hero in the end, wasn't he? I mean,
yeah.
There was that incident where they met behind the bars. And he was asking who he was and, you know, talking about his hands and things and saying that, you know, he thought he was going to be 10 foot tall. But yeah, it's going to be special to watch that. And I just hope that they don't ruin it. And I hope it's another classic.
Yeah. So with Gladiator, was there a particular scene that stood out for you that really sort of, when you watch it every time, that's the one you're waiting for?
I have to say the fight scenes. I mean, I suppose everybody kind of looks for the fight scenes. They were obviously, I mean, they were absolutely fantastic. But I think it was more than that. You know, there's certain medieval movies that I've watched before. And yes, there's a storyline. But, you know, you could see obviously his love life with his wife and child. He obviously lost them. And you could understand why he wanted his vengeance and he wanted to get back. And I think that was kind of like, that's what fixated me with it. You know, it wasn't just about, you know, going in the arenas and fighting and obviously eventually getting to Rome and trying to win his freedom, etc. and stuff like that. I think it was just a brilliantly put together movie. And it's not just that. I also listened to the music in the background as well. Not too many times, but just everything was just absolutely perfect about it. And that's why I loved it. And, you know, you see it advertised on TV and stuff and you think, oh, am I going to watch this again? Or shall I just leave it alone? But I can't tell you how many times I watched that movie. And every single time, you know what's coming, you know exactly what's coming, but it's just fantastic.
And as somebody who stood on, you know, football pitches in stadiums, do you kind of understand the thrill of Gladiator standing there saying, are you not entertained? Do you kind of get a sense of that as a footballer?
When you're in stadiums and big full stadiums, I mean, you can see the arena. And I've actually done interviews and used this analogy as a comparison about being in that arena and, you know, you being the Gladiator and wanting to, you know, walk down the tunnel after a game and knowing that you've given absolutely everything and you've won the game. And I suppose that's how you feel. It's got that feel where, you know, your shoulders are back, you're proud of what you've achieved.
No tigers on the field for you, luckily.
Well, no, I didn't quite come across any tigers. Maybe a couple of cats running across the football field when I was playing, but that was about the as close as I got to the tigers. But yeah, I mean, what a scene.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were putting on these four films, is there a particular cinema that you have in mind? Do you have a favourite?
I'd probably go to the same one. I've got to be completely honest with you. I mean, the cinema I use is at the Trafford Centre in Manchester, because that's obviously where I'm based. And, you know, whether it's on IMAX or just on normal cinema screen, I have been there and watched a few movies in 3D. I've got the Avatar, the second Avatar to think about. I want to go and watch that. I've not seen that yet. I know they do it in IMAX, but I bet it will be absolutely incredible in 3D because of the colours and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I just sit back and put the seat back, obviously in the posh seats, and then I just let the film go. But yeah, you can't beat it. But it's a great cinema anyway.
Yeah. Let's talk about your second film then that you would put on this programme, Rocky 3.
Philadelphia salutes its favorite son, Rocky Balboa.
Hey, why don't you tell all these nice folks why you've been ducking me?
This guy is a wrecking machine.
You know, you've got a big mouth.
Why don't you come out and close it, Balboa? Come on.
I want to fight this guy.
You'll fight him without me.
Balboa was a fine champion, but his time has passed.
See that look in their eyes, Rock? Got to get that look back, Rock. I had the tiger, come on.
I will destroy any man who tries to take what I got. I'm gonna torture him. I'm gonna crucify him real bad.
For the first time in my life, I'm afraid.
Damn, Rod, come on!
There's nothing wrong with being afraid.
You thought I was tough, this jump will kill you.
You wake up after a few years thinking you're a winner, but you're not.
There is no tomorrow.
You're really a loser.
Well, I don't believe it.
There is no tomorrow.
Why three?
It's the Club Alang thing. I think, you know, the fights with Club Alang. You know, obviously, I mean, the movies before it were a little bit, obviously, old-fashioned. I mean, he was trying to tell a story, if you think about Rocky 1 and Rocky 2. But the one that would be my go-to would definitely be Rocky 3 because, you know, again, I go back to my dad. I would sit with my dad. I didn't go to the cinema to see it. I waited for it to be probably on VHS, I would have thought. It was that long ago.
You have to do your tracking on a VHS, don't you? Get the snow out of it.
Exactly, yeah. That would be the one that I would sit back and watch again and again and again and again, you know, just because of, was there a story in it? I don't think there was. It was all down to, you know, revenge with Club Alang because Rocky had, you know, had this kind of like dream of being number one and he'd had all these easy fights or so-called easy fights. And then this guy comes along, you know, he's absolutely knocking out every single person who's in front of him. And then, you know, then you just think it's the end for Rocky. And obviously he's training Mick. He got knocked to the ground and that was a bit of a sad story to it. And then, you know, to come back and beat Club Alang, it's absolutely fantastic. And then he obviously waits for Adrian at the end, doesn't he? I think that always seems to be the end of the Rocky movies. But it was just an absolute classic that I think everybody would know exactly what happens in that movie.
Yeah, and it's also Mr. T, the A-Team. Were you a fan of the A-Team growing up as well? So did it have that added bonus of having him in it?
I was. I think everybody went through a period of trying to wear about 45 chains around the neck and 15 bracelets and 25 rings. And not so much the haircut. I don't think I went that far. But without a doubt. I mean, the A-Team was where obviously we found out about Mr. T. And when he became Club Alang, it was just, he's an absolute classic. I mean, you can still see him now. If you walk down the street, he's so recognisable, isn't he? I mean, it's just, absolutely brilliant.
So if Rocky 3 is your favourite to see on the big screen, what do you think about the films that came after that? Rocky 4, Robots, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, it was a bit strange, wasn't it? And I think, again, you know, the fight scenes, obviously, in the ring, you know, big Russians everywhere. I enjoyed them, there's no doubt about it. But it wouldn't be my favourite, I have to say. But the training sessions, you know, going up into the hills in Russia and obviously the freezing cold snow and I've been trying to get away from people who were watching what he was doing every single day. They're all nice stories, but I think that was kind of what I was into. Not so much the boxing, but the training and just how he did things. And, you know, he's an absolute legend, Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah. Have you ever met him?
I haven't, no. I've not really met too many of my heroes, I've got to be completely honest with you. But I've been quite fortunate to meet certain individuals, but he would definitely be on the bucket list of the top three, without a doubt.
Yeah. Would you be a complete fanboy over him?
I think it would be one of those jaw-dropping moments where, you know, you'd probably walk into a room knowing that you were going to meet somebody like Sylvester Stallone and then, you know, probably freeze walking through the door and, you know, the jaws dropped. You wouldn't be able to get a word out. The furthest I would probably go would be a handshake. I think that would be it. But I mean, he's been around on our movie screens for years and years and years, still doing it now.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't say classic movies, but movies that you want to actually sit down and watch.
Yeah.
He's just a legend, isn't he?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously talking is your bread and butter. That's what you do now. What's it like now as an ex-footballer talking about it and looking at it? Is it a strange experience to be watching other people having the experience that you understand so intimately?
Obviously, I've got a passion for it still. I think football's obviously in the blood and, you know, I love going out to games and I've been very fortunate over the last 12 years to work for a brilliant company in Talk Sport. They'll send me messages, say, right, would you like to go to this game? Would you like to go to that game? And over the last couple of seasons, I've been very, very fortunate because I'm based in Manchester. Now I have a title of Manchester correspondent. It's great, yeah. So, I mean, I'm very lucky I get to go and watch pretty much most of Manchester City's home games. So I've seen them win league titles. I've obviously seen them play Champions League games, etc. And the same with Manchester United over the last couple of seasons where it's been topsy-turvy, without a doubt. But now they're starting to hit the heights and they're getting back to where we all expect Manchester United to be. So it's brilliant. You know, I'm such in a fortunate position.
Yeah.
And I go as a fan. You know, yeah. I don't just go, and yes, of course, I give my insight and obviously my experience of being an ex-player and actually playing at those stadiums. Being there as a fan and witnessing what's in front of you, there's no better feeling. The only thing I can think of that is better is actually being a player, because that's what I obviously love and that was my passion. But the next best thing for me is going there and giving my insight into what I'm seeing in front of me, being the eyes and ears, if you like, whether it's TV or radio.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love it. I really do. And I can't wait for the next games coming up.
And do you still dabble in a bit of footy? Is it something that you just don't do anymore? Because, you know, professional footballers never just do a bit of kick around in the park after. Or is it something that you still do actually do?
I think there's a lot of ex-footballers probably find themselves in the pub more than playing their charity games and stuff like that. So they haven't got the energy levels, obviously, that you used to have when you were playing and you were training every single day. But no, I play quite a lot. I wouldn't say over the last couple of years, and obviously through the pandemic, which was very difficult, yeah, you know, to play charity games, I've not played as many as I would have liked. I still like getting out. I yeah. still enjoy in the odd game of football. I think, you know, normally your body takes about 4 or 5 days to recover now instead of maybe 24 hours.
Yeah.
So that's the hard thing. You know, you find yourself limping around for a couple of days, but then you're back on the horse. You know, you want to enjoy it. And I'm one of these guys who's always like tried to look after myself or try and keep myself as fit as I possibly can. So whether it be through golf or football, I just love sport and yeah. I've got a passion for it. But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the big worry is when you retire and somebody asks you to play a charity game or a game through the week, you still think you can do what you used to do when you're 25. Well, forget that. We can't get anywhere near that. We're no good anymore.
That's true as all. We don't have to be professional footballers to feel that sort of ache and pain. Talking about the golf, you so love golf that you bought a magazine on it. Like, where did the passion for golf come from?
I've always had a passion for golf. I mean, actually, funny enough, before I brought Golf Pump magazine out, I wasn't a golfer. I loved watching it.
Yeah.
You know, obviously stars that were coming along at the time. I mean, Nick Faldo was probably one, Seve Ballesteros at the time. But then I think everybody kind of jumped ship and started following Tiger Woods' career. And I was, you know, similar age to Tiger. And I saw, you know, this resurgence of an incredible golfer that you just could not take your eye off the screen for whether it 4 or 5 hours to see how he was going to progress over the 4 days.
Yeah.
So somebody came along with an opportunity, a guy called Tim Maxwell, who was part of the Golf Punk. And we had a few ex-players or players at the time at Sunderland. And there was an opportunity there to invest into the magazine. And we didn't have too much of an insight into it, I have to be completely honest with you. But we did that for, I think it was about 3 or 4 years. It was very successful at the time. And I think now it's kind of gone online a little bit, which a lot of things are doing.
Yeah.
But it just gave you a little bit more insight. And if you wanted to actually go and participate and go and watch a golf tournament, it was easier to get tickets and things like to go and watch for maybe a day and stuff like that. So, yeah, we got our perks out of it, which was fantastic. But it was always going to come to an end. But yeah, I loved it. Absolutely loved it at the time.
Let's move on to your third film then, The Holiday.
Home exchange. We switch houses, cars, everything.
Bingo!
I need you to answer this. Are there any men in your town?
Perfect.
Wish me luck.
Yeah.
Next.
From Nancy Myers.
Dashing through the snow.
This can't be it.
It's just down the lane. Do you think you can make it from here?
Thank you.
Hello. Do you know where Rose Hill Cottage is?
Stay down there.
And then just keep going.
Way down there?
Way down.
Just at the end of the lane.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Can a change of address?
I'm here.
Change your life.
Hi.
Hello.
Can I call you?
Sure. I'm leaving in 9 days, and that makes this complicated.
Okay. No.
Why is this so special to you?
But a completely different contrast to the first two. I thought I might as well change it up a little bit. But I think everybody's always looking for that Christmas movie where you can sit on the sofa with a duvet over you and just flick the TV on and just watch something that's easy to watch. It's fun. It's got a nice storyline to it. And I think it just brings a smile to your face. I have to admit, I think there's once or twice there's a tear dripped out of my eye. I've got to say that at certain points in that movie. you try and hold them back a little bit, but they always seem to drip out. But it's an easy watch. It's a nice Christmas movie, and I think that's probably the time that I do watch it. And I can't count on my hands how many times I have watched it. I don't know when it did come out, but I've certainly watched it over half a dozen times for sure.
The choices there, like which house would you choose at Christmas? Which would it be for you? The little lovely cottage with the roses around the door, or the LA mansion?
Oh, that is a question. Well, I think I'm a bit of a traditionist, so I think I'd probably go the cottage. Who doesn't want snow on Christmas Day? You know, who doesn't want the comforts of a home with a nice warm fire and, you know, just sitting there with, I don't know, what they're drinking. Is it a hot coffee or whatever, just to keep warm? But it's just got that Christmassy feel about it. Whereas I think, you know, when you go to America and you see this beautiful house for sure, and obviously the neighbours that are around just next door, etc. and stuff like that. I'd go tradition. I think I'd definitely go for the little cottage.
Yes, which they pretend a journalist can afford and can get to within 40 minutes from central London. But I don't think so. I think
done very quickly, wasn't it? The exchange was very, very fast. You know, it was like, I think it was the second house that they'd saw.
Yeah.
It was like, right, okay, let's just jump straight into the cottage. That's what I want, out of the way of everybody. But that's movies for you.
Yeah, exactly. It is escapism. Who would you be inviting to the cinema with you? Who do you like to go and see movies with?
That's a question. Well, I'd probably go to the bucket list of people who I'd like to meet. I have to say, I think my favourite movie actor, actress would be Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
I think some of the movies that he'd been in are just, I mean, he puts himself out there. Let's put it that way. I just think he's absolutely fantastic. I could have went down the line of an Al Pacino or a De Niro or somebody like that if I was thinking about movies. But definitely Leonardo DiCaprio for me. So, yeah, he could come around. I think he could watch it. Who else would it be? Obviously, I have to be somebody from sport. I'd probably go either Mike Tyson or Paul Gascoigne. They would be my heroes in their opposite sports. But Paul Gascoigne, for sure, just not just for his football, but for his personality as a footballer. But yeah. Mike Tyson, just for the sense that he was just an animal, a beast, and, you know, you couldn't wait to watch his fights and stuff. So I think he'd be very interesting round at a sofa watching a movie.
Yeah, I'm interested to see Leonardo, you, Tyson and Paul Gascoigne watching The Holiday. It's a nice image. Maybe they'd be more into the fourth film. What's your fourth choice?
My fourth choice is The Hangover.
Now this is Vegas.
Through a night we'll never forget.
What happened last night?
Am I missing a tooth?
Oh.
Whose baby is that?
Check its collar or something.
I looked everywhere. Nobody's seen Doug.
I don't think I've ever been this hungover.
What's on your arm?
You were in the hospital last night.
The only important thing now is that we find Doug.
Where's your car, officer?
I think it was just you guys and one other guy.
Was he okay?
He was fine. Just whacked out of his mind.
We were messed up.
It's very difficult to kind of narrow it down to four, isn't it? You know, even while I'm speaking to you now, I'm racking my brain. I'm thinking, I wish I picked something else. But I think The Hangovers, again, it's one of those where I'm looking for kind of four different movies where I'll give you, you know, the Holiday, and I'll give you kind of two aggressive ones in The Gladiator and Rocky III. So I've kind of gone for The Hangover, which is, it's fun. When you watch it, you think, I've done very similar to that in my time. You know, certain things, you know, I've obviously done the Vegas many, many years ago. So, I think it relates a little bit. Obviously, some of the stuff those guys get up to is just absolutely bonkers. But, you know, you kind of got similar stories. So I think that's another one for me where you can just switch it on and you can just breeze through that movie and just have a laugh and a giggle.
Is comedy something you enjoy? Is that something that you use as a sort of therapy to get away from it all? Something that makes you laugh?
I think sense of humour is a huge thing, yeah. And having a bit of quirkiness about you as well, yeah. I know, absolutely. So I think if one of the hardest things to do in life is to make people laugh. And I think through film, and obviously comedy films like The Hangover, I mean, you know, you're laughing from first minute to last. You know, your stomach's absolutely killing you at the end. Certainly the first time you watch it, because you just don't know what's around the corner in movies like that. So yeah, without a doubt, I mean, anything that puts a smile on your face like that, absolutely.
And do you have a favourite moment in that film, one that really made you sort of snort with laughter?
Well, where do you start? I mean, you know, tattoos on faces, you know, teeth missing, marriages that don't exist. All of the above. I think those things are just, you know, fantastic. And then, you know, losing a friend for 3 or 4 days and then finding them on the rooftop strapped to a mattress and things like that. You know, they're the kind of things that, I mean, I didn't go that far, I have to say, in my life. But those type of things are what lads obviously, you know, we laugh and joke about and stuff like that. And obviously the drinking that the guys do every single day and just forgetting where you are for a couple of days is just like, it's everyday life for us, I think, isn't it?
I wouldn't know.
No, I mean, not.
I don't know. I don't know if this is saying more about you as a footballer or a guy. I don't know.
Well, as a very close friend of ours will probably tell you that I tell stories that are probably better off air than on air. We've had many giggles, but yeah, no, we tell some funny stories when we've been on air because we've worked together quite a bit on TalkSport and stuff. So yeah, without a doubt, we've had some really good times. But yeah, is it my life? I don't know. After I was playing football on a Saturday night, the first thing I wanted to do was go out and enjoy myself. So for sure, the hangover is kind of like, you know, it's part of your life, isn't it?
Cool. When you're watching all of these films, are you a popcorn fan? Are you a salty or a sweet or not popcorn at all?
I think I've obviously gone through different periods, but if I was talking about the popcorn in cinemas, I would have been probably been a salty man.
A salty man.
I think I moved on to the nachos with cheese. Certainly a lot of jalapenos on top of there. Not so much the sweets.
As a former sports person, you're programmed to not go near the pick and mix.
We all have our sneaky days, don't we? And I think my sneaky days for sure would have been the sweets. But if I do go watch the cinema, I've been with my son a few times, obviously over the years. I mean, he's 14, coming up to 15 now. And he would have the pack of sweets, 100%. He's got the sweet tooth.
Cool. And are you a man who enjoys trailers? Do you get there for the start because you want to see everything that's coming up, or do you get there just as the lights go down?
I've certainly been there before the trailers and watched what's coming on the cinemas over the next couple of months. Absolutely. But I think of late, if I've been to the cinema, I'm kind of jumping there, parking the car, running up to the cinema, showing the tickets, getting in my seat, sitting down. Trailers are all finished and probably missing the first 5 to 10 seconds of the movies. That's how close I want to have it, because movies these days, I mean, we've just been talking about Avatar, haven't we? The second one.
3 hours.
It's over 3 hours, apparently. Yeah, so I'm not going to sit and watch trailers for another half an hour before that starts. You'd need a duvet and a pillow behind you, wouldn't you, after that? You'd be knackered.
Absolutely. And also, they do give a lot away. So some people like to not bother with them just because they want to see a film completely fresh. As you said, you know, like when you see The Hangover the first time, if you know nothing, you're like, what am I watching? Some people in a different way to actually, you know, what am I watching? All of this is finished and everyone's leaving the cinema and we've all enjoyed all the films you've put on, what soundtrack will you be playing?
Oh, George Michael in the car, for sure.
I thought you might say that.
He's the man. He was the only one. same thing, you know, you go through your eras, don't you? And Wham songs. I mean, who doesn't remember Wham songs and who hasn't sung along to a Wham song? So I think that's obviously the go-to. And then George obviously going on his own after that. And I was very fortunate before, obviously, we lost him from this life. I got to see him at the MEN in Manchester just the once, front row, standing there. I got the opportunity to sit in seats and I thought, no, I'm going to the front. Yeah. And every song that came along, I was singing every single word and I thought, wow, what am I doing? But it's just what you do when you're at...
Well, you're famous for singing a duet with your colleague on TalkSport.
With Jason Cundy, yeah. We started singing it together, myself and Jason, and I was like, right, where's this going? And then I don't remember who was presenting that day. It wasn't Andy Goldstein. It must have been somebody else. And Jason started singing something. Then I joined in. And then we carried on. And we were going on for about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. I was thinking, am I on the right show here? Singing from the top of our voices. It was absolutely fantastic. I loved it.
But to lose you would cut like a knife. So I don't dare. No, I don't dare. Because I'm there. Come close, and in all of these years, you are the only one to stop my tears. I'm so scared of this love, and if all that there is this fear of being used, I could go back to being lonely and confused. If I could, I would, I swear.
didn't miss a lyric. I mean, some people when singing those songs will be like, nah, 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 in the bit. You knew every word.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And the thing at TalkSport now, when you work in the studios, I'm not too sure if they were on this day, but we have YouTube alongside it. And I was just thinking to myself, I really hope these cameras are not because we must have just been looking at each other thinking like, wow, you know, this is something that you do in the shower, but you know, we're doing it actually to a nation. It was crazy.
So is there a particular George Michael song you'd like to play for people trooping out of their seats?
Well, I don't think it'll get them out of their seats, but I have to say my favourite is Father Figure. I've got the lyrics actually in a frame. They were on my wall, but I've moved a couple of times, so they're actually in a box at the moment. But I'm desperate to get it back out and do like a collage on the wall. But Father Figure will be the go-to for me for sure.
So Michael's last picture show programme will be Gladiator, Rocky III, The Holiday and The Hangover. Let us know on Twitter if you'd be up for sitting in the dark with that lineup with Leonardo DiCaprio, Mike Tyson and Paul Gascoigne. But for now, thanks for sharing your programme, Michael. And we'll be back with another Last Picture Show. So do come back and see who's in our projector booth next time.
That was the Last Picture Show podcast from Total Film. Let us know what four films you'd watch at the end of the world. You can tweet us on @TotalFilm or connect with us on Facebook or our Instagram page. Sometimes love can be a